going on, guys?
Why do we always record so late when we're here?
You know, it's something about the vibe of this place. Just it just screams late night vibes.
It does, but if we do it for you guys. We do it for you guys.
You know, I'm imitating right now with my news.
And what is that, Patrick?
I'm imitating with my newest Squishmallow from Costco. Shout out to my friend Chloe for bringing me in Costco. I don't really like Costco. But they did have this giant Squishmallow for only $12. His name is Conrad. And what I'm imitating is there's these videos for babies on like YouTube. And it's just like these little fruits with faces just hopping around. Ugh. And it's very like stimulating, like very good for an iPad kid like me. Keeps me entertained at dinner so that I don't throw a tantrum.
I'm glad you're stimulated.
That
dinner.
Sadly makes a lot of sense.
This is our baby stimulation. So if your baby is a fan of Successfully Unsigned, show them this part.
Oh boy.
And like play a little music in the background. Or I've seen some edits where people do like Nicki Minaj music with it. It's like,
oh good.
It'll have little bees bouncing around. And it's like, bees in the chat. Bees in the chat.
How many Squishmallows does this make for you?
One, two, three, four. I think.
One, two,
maybe. Eight or nine.
Eight or nine?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have more than my niece.
To be fair, like half, at least four or five of them are gifts.
Oh so. Boy. I mean, they're fun. They're comfortable.
Yeah, five of them are gifts. They are really comfortable. Like this one's really nice to sleep because it's so big.
Very comfortable. Guys, we are here with another edition. And as you can tell, it's a little late. But again, we're doing this because we care and we love you guys. And we could not wait to come back on here and record another episode with just the three of us, which it's been a minute.
It has been, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I forgot, like, we've had a whole break.
How does it feel to not, like, have a guest for once, you know?
I feel so good being the center of attention again.
Yeah.
I feel like Patrick.
Feels good.
Yeah. At least what Patrick thinks of himself in his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, a little bit.
So we last left y'all with our Christmas live stream.
How did y'all like that? Did you enjoy it? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, what are the reviews for that? Because we had a great time. It was awesome.
It was a blast.
Yeah, it was really cool that we got to do that. Thank you, Dale, for setting that up. It was quite a setup.
Hope you got your merch.
Yes.
Your Christmas balls.
Yes. Yes, we still have some left over. So if you would like to buy any for next year's Christmas, or I guess this year's Christmas, go ahead and hit us up. We still have probably like a little less than half left. So not a ton, because we didn't start out with many.
And so, if you feel like supporting the podcast and donating, we are taking donations. Where is that at?
GoFundMe. But guess what? We have a new website as of today, literally. Mm-hmm, by the time this comes out, it will have been like a month or so.
I can say it. Ready? su-podcast.com.
David, way to go.
That is su-podcast.com.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is the cleanest that you've said that.
I don't know, something about saying SU, I keep saying SU.
SU, like it's an issue.
It's an issue,
it's an issue. It's an issue to say. You know, we right before we started, you know, filming this podcast episode that you're watching and listening to right now, we were filming some material for sponsorship pitches and things like that. And someone made a very difficult script to say, apparently. And we all struggled through it.
Yeah. So it was like 12 minutes to read three sentences. I mean, it was crazy.
But the moral, great. The moral of the story is give us money.
Yes.
Please.
$1 million.
Yeah. Just give us money.
I was going to say one of the morals of the story is that if you are creating content of any kind, especially if it has video involved with it as well, I think I've heard people talk about like the 3-to-1 rule kind of idea in regards to video content, or some people will say 10-to-1, which I think is a little excessive, but
a little bit.
The idea of for every, say, 1 minute of content that you're going to put out, you're going to have, anywhere from 3 to 10 times as much stuff that you shot and that you're going to have to edit through.
Didn't so I we have, technically take almost like 30 minutes?
Yeah, we took around 30 so minutes ours worth.
Is 30 to 1?
30 minutes worth of trial and error of us trying to say this script. And yeah, it's going to turn out probably to be around a 1 minute video.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But we were happy to do it and it was fun. We had a lot of fun. I held a laptop and it was, you know, the script was
yeah. We're excited prevalent. To like be a little less unprofessional. Our advice is going to be a little more professional because we're, you know, getting our foot in the game and trying to like we have a website now so we're really official. Mm-hmm. And
kicking off a new season.
Yes, kicking off a new season. We have some new interviews already lined up for y'all that will be coming out in these next coming weeks. So some really good ones, some shows that we're going to, just more networking. And we would totally love to do this full time eventually, sooner rather than later. So give us money. Moral of the story.
You're so
that's
direct.
Podcast.
Patrick, has anyone ever said that you're subtle or that you have any kind of what's I'm looking for? Like inspiguity.
This is movement we're doing.
It's the thought.
Inspiguity? The like inspiguity. Spaghetti?
In spaghetti.
Don't you mean inconspicuous?
Actually, guys, don't hurt yourself. It's cool.
It's inspiguity.
I feel like we're boring the audience. So yeah, I'm just so, putting this up here for the babies.
Anyways, go support us, guys. Go to our GoFundMe if you feel so inclined and support us. We would love you for that. If anything, just follow us on all the social medias. Keep up with what we're doing. Tell your friends. Word of mouth also helps. It also supports us. Which brings us to the topic tonight. Before we get into that, we just want to tease the topic tonight before we get into our show and yell. We're going to be talking about rejection.
Rejection.
And we've all felt it. We've all had it. But first, we got to show you guys our show and yell, as always. So,
and give us money so that we can buy more show and yell items.
Actually, I am running out. Like, we're sitting in my house, and I'm always the one struggling to find show and yell items.
Yeah. He's just going to go grab like his half eaten bag of Skittles and bring it in here. I might. Like, this is my, you know.
I might.
I literally see like four things that you could do.
What? Okay, I have one.
The hats, the strap.
I've already done the
proclamation
hat,
thing. I don't know if you have. Maybe you have.
He's done quite a few hats.
That's true. But I've done a lot of hats, period.
Or
jewelry.
Instruments.
The proclamation was just like a random like $2 garage sale.
Yeah, that's... Well,
it doesn't all have to be super special.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going first?
I'll go first. So I have a serious one and a funny one. My serious one is 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson.
Y'all, he does not read. He is lying to you right now, I can tell you.
Calling him out.
Okay, that was...
He needs this. He needs this.
That's uncalled for, bro.
That was really mean.
Rough.
But I actually do read, and it's a really good book. And basically, it's just... Jordan Peterson's a really well-known psychologist.
Wait, show it. You didn't even show it.
I did, before you rudely interrupted me.
Yeah.
12 Rules for Life. People, it's really good if you are struggling with... You know, just like, I don't know, not even confidence, but just need to feel more, I don't know, just empowered and emboldened in your life. It's definitely for you. I deeply recommend it. And just like go watch him on YouTube and stuff. He's really good.
That's like good for our subject today.
Yeah. This man, he doesn't read. What? Sorry, I'm not on TikTok all day. Enough. All right. So here's my funny one. Okay. So this was my birthday when I was 9 years old. Okay. And I went to Sir Pizza, and I told...
Love that place. Sir Pizza, please sponsor us. Please. I love your pizza.
Really? Okay. I used to love their pizza. I haven't had it in... it's been a minute. But I told all my friends to do like a gun pose, and so...
Like Charlie's Angels?
Yeah, like a Charlie's Angels type pose. Okay. And I don't know if I'll just let you guys see it first. There's that.
Oh, y'all are so cool.
So take a look at that.
So cool.
That's me. And my friends at the time who are going to be really mad at me for showing this, but they won't know. this goes out to all you kids who have...
Why are you folding it? You're going to ruin it.
It's already ruined. It's the picture itself is ruining itself, but I don't know. It was in my car. I had it in there because I just keep old pictures in there to laugh at sometimes.
Nice. No, I feel
that's
that.
Sweet.
I feel
that's
that.
Sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, so that goes up to all you kids who want to have pizza birthday parties still, because I feel like they've gone away. No one has their, you know, we used to have them at like Circus World or Chuck E. Cheese. I feel like no one does that anymore. It's all, I don't know.
What do kids?
On Zoom? What are the kids doing?
My niece just had a birthday party at a trampoline park.
That's what they're doing. Trampoline, that's better, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like that's like adjacent.
Cool,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I feel like if you pair pizza with that, it's not going to end well. You're just going to puke everywhere.
But it's kids. Can do things that people can't.
True. This is very true.
To all you kids out there.
Hence why Patrick can get away with what he get away with. Because kids can do things that people can't.
So our next live stream is going to be hosted by Sir Pizza. So we're so excited to be filming there. We're going to have like a medieval theme because they have like a castle in there or something.
Literally they have a knight. The knight is going to host it. We're going to get the knight to sit at the table and host the live stream.
I actually would go back for that.
Y'all, I'm not even kidding. I might legitimately reach out to Sir Pizza. Just saying.
It's probably, you're probably going to get Wally. Wally's going to answer the phone. Okay. Like, what do you want?
So I actually brought a photo as well. I did not really bring like a weird toy or something. I was going to.
That's just for you.
I decided to bring something else. So, I am not exactly the most athletic person, nor have I ever been. But there was a short period of time in high school, my freshman year of high school, which based on this picture, you're not going to think I was a freshman. You're going to think I was 12 or younger. I did rowing in high school. So, oh, Dale, boy. I think, has seen this picture.
Oh, boy.
I have.
Why do you...
This is...
You're holding an oar?
Me in a unitard. Oh, yes, we were on the crew team. So, I did USC crew. Shout out to USC HS. Here's us in our team
picture.
Wait,
show it again.
That's literally what I sounded like. My voice did not drop till junior year.
Has it dropped yet?
Not really. Anyway, me with my Ray-Bans. But speaking of merch, if y'all want your own little cutout, I have little prints as well.
The wallet size is crazy.
We will also sell these to y'all, but these are going to be a little bit more expensive than our ornaments, okay? Oh, so all I'm saying is, if you want one, hit me up.
Yeah, they're going fast.
Hit us up.
They're going fast.
SUpodcast.com. See, I messed it up.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. So in eighth grade, the rowing team came and visited our lunchroom, and they just kind of talked about it. And my mom worked at the middle school, and she was like, I really think you should go to their like practice meeting or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I do theater. I don't really like sports. I'm good. And she was like, no, I really think you should try it. And you know why? Which, I love you, mom. I love you. But
oh boy,
I'm about to expose you a little bit. It's because there was a kid named Greg Vitcavage. He's in here. Shout out to you, Greg. He was super nice. But Vitcavage? he always talked about how in his first like month of rowing, he lost like 20 pounds. Like, he was a chubby kid and he lost so much weight really quickly. So they're like, it's a really good way to like get you active and to lose weight quickly. I was obviously chubby, still am.
Aww.
And so I think that's kind of what my mom was aiming toward.
Oh, wow. She was trying to get you to lose weight?
Just a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Hey, love you, mom. I've heard that every now and then over at like the Stones River, they'll do like kayak days. So if you want to get back into it, just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
I'll be struggling right with you, but let me know.
What if he's like so good at it? Like, probably. He just gets in there and he just superstar? Starts Olympic rowing.
Oh, I was so terrible. Yeah. I was so terrible at it. Oh man, some of these faces are really giving me some trauma. Anyway,
oh my goodness.
So I was like, fine, I'll go to, they basically had a practice day where they brought you in for training, and just kind of showed you what it was like for a day to day. And so I decided to go to that, and I actually enjoyed it, okay? Mm. We got to go downtown. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so we drove from high school to downtown and would row on the river. So it was actually a really cool experience getting to do that. And so the first practice, I mean, yeah, it was cool, except they made us run, and I am not a runner, and I was definitely falling behind. Shout out to the coach at the time, or the like student coach. I don't remember his name. Aditya, that was his name.
What are these names? Oh my goodness. Indian. Aditya?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, so yes.
Aditya again.
It was but it was a lot of like work. Like, I mean, rowing, it's not super easy and it's kind of scary. You're on the water, lifting the boats are really heavy. But it was fun, except so fun. We had it like 4 days in a week, and it takes almost an hour to drive downtown, then 2 hour practice, then almost an hour to drive back. And then on top of that, I'm in high school. I have a lot of homework. So it was a lot of dedication. So once musical season hit, it was at this point winter season. So our practices were now down to only 2 hours because we would just lift weights in the school. And once it got to, we're no longer having fun on the water and we're just inside in the gym, I peaced out. I was like, yeah, this ain't for me. I'm gonna go sing songs in the musical because that's what I care more about. Also, shout out to my coach, RJ. For the longest time, RJ, I sincerely thought that you had a third nipple. Turns out he just had a nipple piercing. So
where?
What?
Yeah. It like I could see through because the shirts were kind of tight, so I could like see like multiple bumps, and I was like, what's going on? Like, does he have a third nipple? And then we had like a pool party, and so his shirt was off. I was like, oh, it's a piercing. I would never thought. He looked like Robin Thicke, which at the time, Robin Thicke was really big. So shout out to you, RJ. Sorry for quitting. Obviously, not much changed. Speaking of, I'm wearing my Karomi t-shirt from Forever 21 today. Very excited about it. Okay, sorry. I know I took a long time with that. Go ahead, Dale.
All right.
Oh, this is a good one. Mm. We all have like prints today.
We do. Everything's like, it's a graphic.
It's old school.
So my item is Battle of the Bands poster.
I think you're the only one who actually yelled. Did you yell?
No.
No.
I was disappointed in both of y'all.
I'm sorry.
This is the poster to the third annual Murfreesboro Battle of the Bands, of which both of these two lovely guys came out to support and watch and did some interviews and did some fun things there.
Look forward to that. Or if it's already out, go watch it. I don't know when we're putting it out.
Right.
But this was an awesome event. So happy to be a part of this thing. Like I said, it's the third annual one. It's an event that I had the great opportunity to be the producer of for the last 3 years. I did not make this graphic. I am not this good at graphics. My coworker Travis, actually, that guy right there, is the one that made these. He did a fantastic job. He's made this year.
It's one of my favorite posters.
And actually, so far, right in between David and Patrick over there is last year's poster. If you can see that, there might be a little bit of light glare on that. However, that's last year's poster. This year, we kind of wanted to go with like the 90s. Maybe a little bit early thousands skate park, you know,
like a British punk, almost
kind of Brit kind of stuff, graffiti. For these kind of things, he wanted to go with very much like the actual like collage. What do you call it? That you know, where you cut stuff out and you know,
yeah, collage.
Yeah, it's a
collage. There's it's kind of scrapbooky, kind of collage, kind of approach collage, to the posters and the t-shirts and things. So collage,
the collage,
the collage. But no, super super cool event. We had six bands.
It was so much fun. I think it was the best ones by far.
Yeah, it was really good. There's a lot of good bands.
And whoever won the '90s costume contest, oh, they killed it. They hit it out of the park.
Did they though?
Oh wow.
Yes, they did. Shout out to Atlanta for doing my Liberty Spikes hair. Atlanta, friend of the show, Hexproof. Hair by Atlanta.
But we all had a great time there. Again, six awesome bands. Great night, great host. It was a lot of fun and biggest event that I've ever put on.
Yeah, it was big.
Good job, Dale.
Good job, Dale. We love you, brother. All right. On that note, we are going to take a little break and we're going to come back and we're going to dive into this topic, guys.
Rejection.
We'll be right back.
Have you been enjoying Successfully Unsigned? Then check out all of our other content on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and everywhere you can stream podcasts. Don't forget about our exclusive artist interviews and performances right here with Successfully Unsigned. Join us and like, comment, follow, subscribe, share with all of your friends, and tell us what your thoughts are about being an artist in the music industry.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to dive into the topic tonight, which is rejection.
R-E-J-E-C-T-E-D-E, rejected.
Ooh.
Oh, wait.
You shouldn't have wrote. You should have cheered.
It was something like that. Yeah, I really, yeah.
Honestly. I really thought you were going to misspell it at first. When I was just so waiting.
I saw the picture from like the corner of my eye. It looked like a color guard photo. Like a, you look like you're yeah. in color guard.
Oh, yeah. That would have been so much worse.
He's
going to
show me himself holding a cane.
No offense to my color guard friends, but no.
I thought, even though I know your rowing story and I've heard you talk about it several times before, when I first saw that photo like chilling on the floor, I thought, I was like, were you like somehow in like either color guard or like cheer or something like that?
I'm yeah.
like, or even like gymnastics.
Yeah. It seems like something your mom would punk you into as well.
Rejected. Yep, rejected. You just got rejected.
Yeah.
R-E-J-E-C-T-E-D. Rejected. That's what I was thinking. It's from Zoe 101. That's how I know it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what, yeah. That's what a girl you like, her friends sing that to you when you get rejected. So. Yeah. Which, I mean, we've all been rejected in that way, but tonight we're going to talk about, as a musician, getting rejected and dealing with rejection, especially on your first few attempts at success. I just want to share some stories from all of us. Maybe mm-hmm. we've experienced rejection. I know with me, it's more from my music. I started producing music when I was probably 13 or 14, somewhere around there. I put down the baseball bat and I picked up a guitar and then just started writing and recording. And I was at a place where when I first started recording my music, I literally had a little handheld recorder with a SD card in it.
Yeah.
And I would record a part. I would take the SD card out, put it in my computer, drag it into a session.
Yep.
And at the time, I had like Cubase or something. I had no idea how to use it. Mm. All I knew how to do is like turn the volume up and down and drag it wherever I wanted it to go. And then I would just play along to that, record another one on the SD card, take it back out, put it back in, drag that part, and I would layer parts like that. The quality was not bad. I had no conception of sound or the air conditioning's on or my mom's cooking dinner in the kitchen and that get on the recording. My dog's barking in the living room. It didn't matter.
All about the music.
Some of my earliest recordings were literally just about the music. It was just about me and a good acoustic guitar and vocals. And I was a little self-aware of like, okay, this is not good quality, but I didn't have a second opinion. I didn't show my music to anybody. The people I did show were my family. So of course your family gives you those affirmations of you're so good, son. Yeah. And then they're like, ooh. of course, you know, I think the quality of what I was, or I think what was there musically was good, I think, to me, but the quality was just not great. And so I continued on making music and got to a point where I felt like the quality was okay. And I felt like the writing was better. And, you know, went throughout high school and studied guitar and learned how to write music a little bit better. And then I started getting out there a little bit more, sharing my music, playing more shows. I think the first show I played was like, my first show was probably fifth grade. But like I started playing seriously like eighth grade, ninth grade. That area, and I started getting some positive reviews on my music, and so then graduate high school, I start making some music in college, and I decide, okay, I'm gonna like try and submit this to try and get it on a playlist, and so I went to a website that someone had recommended for me to submit your songs to playlist curators, and you can even like do like indie record labels too on this website. And so I can't remember which song I submitted. I believe it was my first like full band one that I had produced. And I had an expectation of what I thought the critics would say. Cause I made it to where the filter was. There was no filter. Like they could say whatever they wanted. They could reject it. And they could also tell me why they rejected it.
Yeah.
Well, the responses were not great. They were not great. I was going to pull it up for you guys, but the website's not working anymore. which makes me feel better about this story because it wasn't me, it was them. No, but some of the earliest reviews were like, basically, your voice is not strong enough. Your vocal performance is not good, and we can't hear what you're saying. Musically, it's good, but you're just not, you're not vocally there. There's nothing unique about what you're doing. It was literally, there was a couple of reviews that was just kind of so nonchalant and just passive and dismissive that you just kind of shut down. And that's pretty much what I did when I first read these reviews. I just kind of, I read them and I sort of internalized them a little bit. And that went on for a few weeks because it wasn't just one submission. I submitted it to several curators and several labels. And I mean, you pay money to do this, not much, but enough. And I kept getting these reviews and they just were getting worse and worse and worse. And there might have been one or two good ones in all of that, but...
So you get hit with it, be sad about it, get over it, and then hit it with it again.
Yeah, literally, you think, oh, it's over, and then you get another one, decline for sharing, decline for sharing, decline for sharing. And then you'd see the review, and you'd go, oh my goodness. And you just go, am I even good at what I'm doing? And, you know, then... You start to, like, eventually I talked to other people who I respected. They gave me their honest opinion about the quality, about the musical things that were going on in my voice. And, you know, I've come to learn now that my voice is just, it's meant for a particular genre. And I just have to craft it more and I have to practice more and I have to be, there's a way to be better about singing. And it just wasn't suiting the genre and the quality that I was trying to put it in. And that's how I kind of molded that. And of course, there were other times where I played a battle of the bands once and I was with a band and every member of that band was really, really good. And I was not at the time, especially at guitar. And there were judges at this battle of the bands. And they literally told you what they thought of your performance in front of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Right after you performed, you went to the front of the stage and you stood there and there's a spotlight on you and there were three judges.
Oh my goodness, like it's The Voice or something.
Literally, it was like The Voice and it was a full auditorium, I remember. And we were dressed ridiculous because it was a battle of the bands and we just wanted to be silly. I was wearing like a tank top and a bandana and like sunglasses. It was so dumb. And I remember the guys, the judges... said something positive to literally everyone in the band, and they got to me and they were just like, I couldn't really hear your guitar that well, and the vocals were couldn't really hear those either, so I can't really tell you. It was just very dismissive and everyone else got that was no good. And there were several situations like that, but that's my interaction with rejection has just been confronting imperfections of certain performances that I've done, whether that be in an audio recording or a live performance. It doesn't mean I'm bad. It just means that performance was not good. And on its face, it hurts. But then you start to dig into why that is and you go, okay, there are things I could have done better. And instead of internalizing it, you get better from it and you learn from it.
You know, I think that's really interesting that you brought up the idea of the dismissiveness, because there are so many people, especially when you're starting out and you're doing things for, like you're doing free shows, right? Things that people aren't, you know, maybe they're not paying to see you, and you're just a part of something that's bigger and you get their opinion. Most of the time in those scenarios, people aren't going to come up to your face and be like, dude, you're trash.
No,
you know, they're not going to, if they don't have any skin in the game, if they haven't paid for anything, they're not going to do that. And even if they have, even if it's like a small show, they might not say anything to you. Now they might say some things to their friends, you know, that's entirely possible. But if you do get a response from them and the way if you get that response from them that you know that it's less than, that they didn't really care for, that's less than optimal, is that dismissiveness, right? because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You know, nobody likes to be the person to hurt other people's feelings.
Yeah.
And so that's, well, okay, there are some people that do. There are some people that do.
Nobody
and
wants to be a dream crusher.
Nobody wants to be a dream crusher. Now, people might view themselves as being, I'm just the brutally honest type, and you might get some brutally honest feedback, you know, with whatever point of view that might be. But more likely, you're going to be faced with something that's just very like, I don't know. I couldn't tell. You did great. Yeah. Nah.
But it's in that moment that you realize it's the people that told you too much that actually hurt you the most.
Yes. Because they're not helping you.
They're not helping you.
They're not helping you.
They're like the people that are giving you criticism are literally saving you time. They're saving you time by being honest with you. And you don't realize that at first because there have been so many people that have been like, you're so good. And you're like, thanks. Maybe I am good. And then you get this big head and then you realize, oh, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. But it's like, again, it's, I respect those people now and I've gotten better because of that. And that's a good thing. So that's been my experience.
Is there really nothing those judges could have said that was nice about you? Like, come
on.
You know, to quote Miss Wendy Williams, death to all of them is what I have to say about those judges.
You know, to be fair.
Exactly.
To be fair, I mean, I'm usually a pretty positive person, I think. I don't try to be, I have no intention or desire to be mean or to be anything like that toward anybody. However, there's been times when I've gone to shows and I'm sitting there and I'm like,
oh boy. Yeah.
You know, it's just not it. Not it's it. Just not it. And like,
but I feel like you can always find something positive. Like, I'm thinking of a very recent show that we just went to where both of us were very bored during a certain performance.
Yes.
But there were still positive things that I could say about that band.
That show, there were still things that you can say. And, you know, maybe I'm exposing myself here, but my usual fallback on kind of compliment is like, man, you know, I love the heart that they're putting into it. I love that they're trying. I love that they're doing something. You know, do I like
for effort?
Do I like what they're doing?
Yeah.
No. Does objectively is what they're doing good? Sometimes no. Sometimes there is objective not greatness. Yeah. And that's okay because they're trying something. Like I actually do applaud that they are trying something. Mm-hmm. Whether it is objectively good or not, different story. But I say that knowing that I've also been in that same boat.
Yeah.
There are things that I've written that I will never share with the light of day to anyone because I got done writing it and I knew this is objectively bad.
What are some situations that you've been in?
I'll start with similarities. I've also submitted music to said website and received some less than optimal feedback. Mm. Now I haven't submitted near as much to them as you have, from my understanding from our previous conversations. So I don't have the range and the long laundry list of disses. But
you said disses. It's crazy.
But I still had feedback that wasn't great. You know, I have wondered if some of those people use the excuse, the vocal performance is just not there for a lot of people. Because I've heard from other people too, from that particular website, people that I know that have submitted that have all gotten the same thing. I've gotten that same thing. And I kind of wonder, did they even listen or is this just their way to like,
to use an excuse to not have to.
Yeah. I've wondered.
It's possible. Or we could be in denial. It's either one, guys.
It's either one.
What I Can't Deny.
That's where that song was born.
It's actually the first song I ever submitted to websites like that.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. That was when I learned about that one. Yeah. To pull from a more direct and much more recent rejection, I wrote a song not that long ago. And I took it and got some a second pair of ears on it to a songwriter that I highly respect, and I knew the song had some issues, which is why I was taking it. I'm like, okay, this isn't my best work, but there's parts of it that I like, and I honestly wanted to know like, okay, where what am I missing? Where can I kind of fix some of this? That was my mindset going into it, which I'm thankful it was. Because the feedback I got was, he said, I know your audience. I know who you're singing to. I know who the audience is for this song. But they're not going to want to hear this. They don't want to listen to this. I was like, what? He's like, they are not going to want to hear this song.
Da, 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 da.
And then he's like, and then the second thing he said was, he said, I think your audience is more likely to file a restraining order on you than listen to the song. I was like,
he did kind of eat you up with that.
He did. And, you know, that one kind of stung a little bit, obviously. But I sat back and I was like, I started thinking about it. And I'm like, okay, I began to think about the song in a different perspective than obviously what I wrote it in. That was not the intent of my writing. I wasn't trying to be like, you know, The Police have that really stalkery song, which I love. It's a great song. I'll Be Watching You. But it's a very stalkery song.
Mm.
Right? I wasn't trying to write the song by any means in any kind of realm like that. But I can see after he made that comment, it hurt. It was rejection. But it did make me see, oh, there is another perspective to everything that I wrote that was not what I intended, but is what would be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, glad I haven't showed that to anybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I gave that song up.
Yeah, that moment, right? That moment is so important. Like, just having that opinion radiate for a second and just give you a second to think critically.
Yeah.
And thinking critically is such a good practice. I mean, right now I'm recording an EP that the guy that's helping me record it, and I mean, he's been on the show. It's Mello. And he has a way about him where he just literally will just tell you something you need to hear in like a respectful way. Like he's very respectful very about it. And it's like, you'll think something is so cool and he'll be like, no. And you're like, but yes, it, you know, like it, but, and then he'll do something and I'll be that way for him. But what comes out of that is so cool. Because then we come together and we're like, okay, well, let's take parts of what you thought was cool and parts of what I thought was cool and let's put them together. And that's the collaborative process. But just, it's hard, especially in that first couple seconds when they're like,
yeah,
this is not as dope as you think it is.
Mm-mm.
For you to be like, yes, it is. You know, like just like kind of.
You have two options.
Retreating into yourself. It's so easy to do that, guys.
It is. And in the moment, you have two options. You have the option of digging your heels in and being unwilling to hear a second opinion and to continue believing that what you have is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Or you can admit, hey, okay, maybe this isn't the greatest thing since Betty White. And you figure that out.
Wait, what?
Y'all hadn't heard that?
What?
No. The whole, like, greatest thing since Betty White?
Y'all hadn't heard that?
I've not.
Okay, so
she's
there's the phrase, the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? Okay. Well, somebody pointed out that pre-sliced bread as a thing that you buy at the store is younger than Betty White.
Okay.
And so then that began circulating that sliced bread was the best thing since Betty White. No?
I'm really trying here,
Bill. Y'all hadn't heard that. Okay. Well, anyway... pop culture reference that nobody
got. Rest in peace, Betty.
But anyway, you know, you have those two options and you have to choose one of the two. And especially if you're starting out, I mean, you got to have confidence in what you do, but you don't want unfounded confidence. That's the last thing you want in the music industry is unfound confidence.
That's a good point.
Unfounded confidence, because that will destroy you. That will destroy you emotionally and mentally inside yourself, and it will destroy your chances at getting into other spaces to play with other people. Because if you think you're great and you're not, you're going to be pushing yourself into the wrong circles that you're not ready for.
Yeah.
And that will see straight through any kind of false sense of confidence that you may have. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never get there, because mm-hmm. you might very well get there, but you do need to have some kind of self-awareness as to humility. What you are, where you are, the humility to admit, hey, I'm still growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go play these open mics and I can play these small shows here and there. I'm not ready to go and tour with, you know, whoever.
Yeah. Well, the line between insecurity and arrogance is humility.
Yeah.
And like finding that sweet spot of like yeah. not thinking you're the greatest thing since Betty White and also not thinking that your music is not worthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good point.
Because your music has a place.
Yeah.
You just have to find where that place is for where your music is now.
It's subjective too.
And you can totally accidentally have more confidence in what you are and who and your music than you should.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily your fault if you do. If you've been led to believe by everybody that's around you because you've only heard good things and mm-hmm. great praise, mm-hmm. you know, that's not entirely your fault then. I feel sorry for you because at some point that's going to come crashing down and that's going to hurt. But I think most musicians have met that at some point.
Every musician has met that at some point, I think.
And so
there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like what you do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even beyond just something being subjective, like everybody in that growing process is like, man, this is really cool. I'm really good. And then you're like, no, not really.
Yeah.
You know, you still got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Objectively speaking, I'm not talking subjective in like right. a sense of genre or taste.
Yeah.
Although that certainly is a part of rejection.
It's part of it. It's a
huge part of rejection.
Patty, you got any rejection stories? Because I want to hear yours.
I got rejected today. Oh, I had a job interview. It was thankfully over Zoom, but it lasted about 7 minutes. Was rejected within 5.
Oh boy.
Basically, long story short, they messaged me on LinkedIn. I sent my resume. They allegedly looked at it and then told me I didn't have enough experience during the interview. It's like, okay, so then why did we set up this interview? Y'all should have looked at my resume. But I ain't gonna lie, like rejection still hurts in any capacity. Obviously, I'm not an artist, but someone who has, you know, for when I graduated college for a year, looked for a job, I faced a lot of rejection with a lot of different jobs. I'm still kind of going through that. Hopefully no one from my work watches this.
Oh boy.
We'll see. I mean, it's fine if they do, whatever. But so yeah, obviously like rejection is something that you have to deal with, whether you're an artist or you're a human existing in this world. So I think any of these things that we're talking about can be applied to you, even if you don't necessarily make music. Obviously, going into the music industry, you're going to be facing a lot more rejection than you would just as a regular human experience. But I think my examples, I would say I am an example of what not to do. So in high school, as y'all know, I was a theater kid, as discussed previously. You know, I rejected crew and went to the theater route, choir, theater. And so there's a lot of rejection in that world as well, even just within high school. And so I, you know, never really got a lead. I remember the fall play. They had a fall play every year. And I auditioned all 4 years. I only got in my sophomore year because everyone got in that year. And I played a very small role. And I remember the year after, my junior year, when I went to go audition, like, I had, you know, worked really hard on it, or thought I had, and I think I had like missed something or like not fully understood what I was supposed to do for the audition, and I messed it up, or maybe I was just bad and I don't remember, probably that too, and I didn't get in, and I remember I just like sobbed like the entire day. I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I was so sad. I just like stayed in my room. I don't think I ate dinner. Like, I was really depressed about it because fall play was a lot more fun. I mean, musical was so much fun, but fall play was a really like more intimate kind of thing. And I was always jealous of seeing all the other kids getting to like be involved in this like exclusive sort of thing. And with that, like, even to this day, I will still call myself a bad actor. And I think part of that comes from the idea that I was rejected from these roles. I would always say, like, I'm a mediocre singer. And I think what it really comes down to is I just didn't really apply myself. I think, sure, maybe I wasn't the best actor there and it didn't come as naturally to me. But there were also definitely scenarios where I didn't prepare enough for an audition, where I didn't technically necessarily memorize all the lines that I should have, or I didn't really practice the song as much as I should have. And so I would say, don't do what I did and take the route of, oh, I got rejected, so they must be right. I'm not good. I'm also one of those people where, like, if I'm not good at it right away, then I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I quit. So don't be a quitter like me. And if anyone wants to put me in their musical, their film, their TV show, anything like that, you know, hopefully I'm better now than I was in high school, or I might be worse seeing how I could barely do our little commercial.
If anyone needs like a someone to like row a boat, this also, dude can do it. And in a movie, like getting someone to like row.
Yeah. I mean, it's been
or a color guard.
10 years, but color guard.
And if you need a the color orange guarded, this dude can do it.
What?
It's a color guard, man.
Anyway, so, but in all seriousness, like, Dale's right. You can either kind of, well, I would say there's, I guess, three ways you could go when you face rejection. Take that, like, take that criticism and be like, whatever, they don't know what they're talking about. I think it's perfect the way it is, and just, you know, keep doing the thing and not succeeding. Or do what I did, accept the rejection, but accept, take it so hard that you just give up and that you believe what everyone is saying about you. Because sometimes the criticism is just gonna be straight up mean and not even helpful. Or the third option, like we said, take it, learn from it, and move on. And that's what they always say about auditions. And I would say even about gigs is when you go audition for something, you do it. And then I've heard actors will just throw the script in the trash immediately after they walk out because, okay, on to the next thing. And as a musician, it should be the same thing. Okay, I had a bad gig or I released a bad single. Oh, well. Time to move on. Because as a musician, even after you do something successful, it's on to the next thing. You don't stop. So you just keep going. And I would say, like, that would be the main rule for rejection.
Yeah. And you know, Patrick, there are with what you said, there are kind of three things that come to mind to me too, not necessarily in ways that you deal with it in that sense, but three things that are important as a musician that you need to be mindful of, and three practical things, I should say, that you can do when you're faced with rejection, how to deal with these kind of things. The first one is with your music. I know you made that. I know it's an integral part of who you are in so many ways, but you're going to have to find a way to make it less personal in the public mm-hmm. eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you deliver that music, once you hand that music over to the public to listen to, it is your music, yes. But in a sense, it's also no longer your music.
You're giving it away like a child almost.
You're giving it away like a child.
It's like your baby.
And what you meant when you wrote that song, the expression, the thought, the purpose, the meanings that you put into that song are now going to spawn a whole host of other concepts, ideas, perspectives, feelings, and emotions that you may have never thought of. That you never really intended to give into this, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're dealing with heavier topics like a lot of indie artists typically do, right? If you're singing, you know, if you write a song and it happens to be, you know, about a really deep, heavy topic, whether that's abuse or whether that's divorce or whether that's suicide or any kind of deep topic, you're going to have all of these thoughts in your head that are going into this song. And it's going to be an extremely personal song, I'm sure. And when you deliver that, someone else is going to listen to it and they're not going to hear that in that. They're going to hear something completely different that mm-hmm. applies to them. Because every time in that song that you say the word I, they mean I. The listener goes, I, me. It's now, how do I relate to this song?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something you have to be aware of as a musician. is you have to learn how to make it less personal to you when you start receiving criticism, because hopefully you have the skills, you have the thought process that you want to put into it, and what you want criticism on is the song, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe there's criticism on like, hey, you know, maybe you as a performer can get better in this, but that aside, you have to learn how to take your music and let the criticism of your music be less personal.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, you have to, it is a learned thing that you need to be able to take criticism and learn how to take criticism, but also surround yourself with people who are willing to give it, right? Because as David pointed out earlier, you know, you value those people far more than you value people that only tell you, yes, this is great. Nobody wants to be surrounded by yes men. No one that's not a narcissist wants to be surrounded by yes men, right? You need to find people that are willing to say, hey, you can do better. Hey, this ain't it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where you can grow. And that's the people that will help you realize your weaknesses. And if they're willing to tell you no, they're probably willing to tell you yes at times when you do need that yes, mm-hmm. because we do need that encouragement,
mm-hmm.
right? So, one, make things, find a way to make the criticism of your music less personal. Two, surround yourself with people that are willing to tell you no and tell you that you need work on something. And three, become the person who is willing to tell other people that you love and respect, this isn't it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to give as much as you receive. And that's hard. That's really hard. That's a learned thing. It's not mm-hmm. something that you're just like, hey, I got you, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that comes with, you know, maybe a relationship that you grow a relationship and you earn the person's trust that you're dealing with. A lot of it is trust. But also a lot of it is your disposition and how you deliver that too. And that is something you have to learn.
Yeah.
That being said, I've been meaning to tell y'all's music sucks.
Thanks, Patrick. What about yours, man? It's even worse.
And the stuff you sing in the shower is good.
Oh, what about boy. The car?
Yeah, got something to tell you
car,
too.
Yeah.
Your car rides are wild.
No, actually, I would like to release a formal apology to everyone who has witnessed me at an open mic and like burying my face or like me laughing at you performing. If you weren't good, I'm sorry. Like, if you weren't good and I was laughing, it's not you. Actually, it is you. But I'll take responsibility and say that it was something else that me and my cousins were talking about.
It's like, I'm sorry I sang that 10-minute Taylor Swift song, you know.
No, if you sing that and you do it well, I will give you a standing ovation.
Yes, I think kind of going off what you said, Dale, to kind of wrap this segment up, one really important element that you have to incorporate is your song is going to be also commercial. So you have to incorporate mm-hmm. elements of your song that you have to think of it as a product as well as your baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's hard. That's hard to do because I've always been the one that's like, oh, I want another verse. Like, I want to say more. And it's like, no, the song's 6 minutes, David. Yeah,
nope.
Hey,
nope,
David. Nope, hey, buddy. Nope. The song's 6 minutes. And like, oh, but we got to keep this part. No. The song's 6 minutes.
Yeah.
No. That my first songs that I wrote were like 5.5 minutes. And I'm like, this isn't that long. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
To someone that has never heard your music before, it's long.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I do not let my songs get past 4 minutes. And if I do, it's not by much. And it's the commercial element that you have to preserve.
Yep. You know, and you're absolutely right. And thinking about that, I'll add number four to mine. After you've learned to become that for other people, learn to become that for yourself. You have to be able to tell yourself, hey, ooh, I like this song. I like the abridged version of this. I like all of this extra stuff. But it will never sell.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Mm-hmm. If you want to make a living doing music, you have to make your product appealing. And song length, song topic, song structure, song everything mm-hmm. about your song is important in that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm writing a song right now and I really like this long intro. It builds, it evolves, it grows into the piece where I want it to grow into. However, my lyrics don't start till about 1 minute and 30 seconds mm-hmm. into it. Ha! that's a problem if I ever want to release this thing, because no one will ever get past the 15-second mark.
Okay, except I did see something recently on Instagram that I meant to share on our stories, from this guy who does a lot of advice for musicians. And he said a good way to kind of get past that is, if you want to keep your creativity but you still want to commercialize it, a good solution to that, at least if you're releasing the song within an album or even an EP, have an interlude or have like an intro to it. And so that first minute and a half where there's no lyrics, have it as an interlude where it's its own thing, where dedicated fans are going to listen to that and have it phase into the next song as it's meant to be listened to.
That's good.
Because there are dedicated fans who really love listening to the full version.
Yeah.
But then for the rest, for your other song, you can still release it to the all the people who maybe aren't quite as big fans.
And you can also do a secondary version too. Like some artists will do like, hey, here's the radio version and here's the album cut.
Yes.
Right? And the album cut might have an extra verse. It might have that fourth verse.
Mm-hmm. And if it's on the album, use the album to your advantage too. Like there are singles on an album and then there's like other songs on the album.
Yeah.
And if you want, maybe make that longer song, just another song on the album that people kind of stumble into. Because some of the best songs I've like found are songs that I stumble into like that. I've listened to the single and then it just keeps rolling and then there's this other song. Oh, what is this? You know, like, so it's, if you use a song, those types of songs as part of a piece instead of selling that one song as everything, I think it's going to give you something a little bit more for your money. But yeah, definitely be thinking about how you can commercialize and make your song a product, because that, at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's what you're hoping to make it.
You know, and thinking of that, and we kind of talked about it some with like the different album ideas, but something I've seen a few artists do recently, and I wish I could remember who I've seen do this. But you can take a single song and have two different people mix it and release it as two different songs. You've put the same amount of work into it personally. If you're having other people mix it, I mean, you're paying them or you're doing whatever, you know, you're working out the deals to have them mix the songs, but you can have two different people mix the song and you might have two completely different sounding songs by the end of it. Right. And you have two different pieces of content to give to your audience. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only way, but you could have people remix it, right? Find somebody in your area, maybe a local DJ or a local, you know, somebody who does EDM, and say, hey, will you remix my song? And then all of a sudden you have content, they have content.
Yeah.
Both of you are building off of this. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some artists do like six different versions of the same song. Mm-hmm. They made one song and they're like, ah, let's chop it up. And one of them might be a 10-minute version. Right. And that's an easy way to take the same piece of content and make it work for you multiple times in a row.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought that was really kind of fascinating and interesting. Because you know, you're going to hit different audiences, the different styles and genres you take with it. So,
okay. Before we get too much off the rails on song structure and commercialization, do y'all have any last thoughts on rejection or shall we move on?
Just, do everything we said as far as...
Do everything we said.
Or else. I'm kidding. No, so on a serious note, just be aware of the fact that you are selling what you're doing at some point to someone, whether it be financially or just letting someone... Like, you want others to appreciate what you do as well, because it is kind of... It's uniquely yours, but you want to share that with other people. So you just have to have a humble mindset about it, and you have to be willing to face rejection when it comes. And I think the people are ready to do that now, if they weren't before.
What is your worst rejection story?
Yeah,
if you're willing to share it,
leave it in the comments.
And if you have a great rejection story, those are acceptance, I guess.
Yeah.
Leave that too.
Yeah.
But we do want to hear your perspective.
Yeah.
Yes. And your advice. Okay. We're going to take one last break and we're going to come back with a game all about rejection.
What's going on, guys? It's David here from Successfully Unsigned. We're having a ton of fun Real quick, I just want to thank everybody for the support that you guys have given us over the past year. We've had a blast. We would love for you to see more of our content. To do that, you can definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, check us out on TikTok and Instagram. Another way you can support us is by following the link in the description to donate to the podcast. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back to Rejectfully Unsigned.
Oh boy. That was really good.
Though. Successfully unsigned.
Successfully rejected?
Our game is very last minute planned. But our co-host David here has been rejected many, many times.
Many times. Yes. So,
yeah, we need one of those. And so we have some questions that you could ask on a first date that may or may not get you rejected. So David, hit us with the questions.
All right. So these questions will make you sound so intuitive. And so here we go. Ready? What? Wait, hold up.
What? He's already rejected. See? Oh, yeah. We need a little rejection button. That's right. Yes. It's broken.
Is that the demented button?
It says no. There we go.
Anyways.
Okay, rejection button.
What risks are worth taking? What risks are worth taking?
Oh, that's you, like way baby. Too
deep. That's a deep one. If you say that, they'll look at you and they'll go, oh my gosh, that is such a good question.
What risks are worth taking?
Going for a music career.
There it is.
Hey, all I'm going to say is if I am out in the woods on a hike and there's a mountain lion, I'm gonna pet that thing.
Okay.
What's it? What? Betty going. White, now
just
this?
Keep going. Just
okay.
Keep going.
All right. Next question. What is something you'll never do again?
Pet that mountain
Be
lion.
Be on this podcast. I quit.
2 years into
You're
it?
Gay! You're gay!
There's so much going
Chaotic.
On.
Chaotic. Chaotic.
What is something that your friends would consider so you?
Petting a mountain lion?
Oh, yeah, that is so
Baby you. Videos for iPad kids.
What dumb accomplishment are you most proud of?
Petting a mountain lion.
Enough okay. with the mountain lion.
I wish. I can't.
What dumb accomplishment? Oh, you know what? Winning two costume contests in the past year. The 90s costume contest at Battle of the Bands and the WMTS Halloween contest, which I still don't have my t-shirt for, by the way, WMTS.
My favorite dumb accomplishment, eating 86 butter cookies in less than 45 minutes.
Dale, I worry about really you bad. So much, dude. What stereotype do you completely live up to?
Late. All the time.
Late? Mm.
Yeah, like, honestly,
you
I think
very early today, for sure.
I think it's a thing with, like, anyone who's just not white is that they're late all the time. I'm Mexican, by the way. Don't come at me. I know I'm white presenting.
Mm-hmm. Dale, what stereotype do you live up to?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Dude, come on.
Oh, boy.
Late. Just like the way
he's
you talk.
He's gonna say them for you.
A.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, but they're stereotypes, and you live up to them, right?
I guess.
Gambles.
So.
Just kidding.
No,
just kidding.
I don't. No. Yeah, I guess Indian times it's a real thing. Yeah. It's actually in the textbooks. That was a shocker. That was a real shocker. So all my friends out there, my Chikashi and Teta friends, Indian time is in a textbook. It's a verified thing too.
All right, guys, speed round. Ready?
Oh. Ooh.
If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time?
Actually, like, be productive for once in my life.
Okay.
Listen to audiobooks.
Listen to audiobooks?
Yeah, I've been on a kick lately.
What's your favorite piece of clothing you own? Owned.
What?
What? Say that again?
What's your favorite piece of clothing that you've owned or own?
Oh.
My red cowboy boots from my grandpa.
Right now, it's
I'll
my
ask
denim
questions
jacket,
about
my
that later.
Custom denim jacket.
Denim jacket, got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How often do you play sports?
Oh,
then
right
my
then.
Crew picture. That was I the used last
to
time.
Like, I used to like every day, but now like once. Yeah.
When's the last time you climbed a tree?
Oh, I want to climb a tree now.
I think I've only done it once.
What's the most annoying habit that other people have?
talking.
Spitting. I hate when people spit on the ground.
Oh, I spit all the time.
What job would you be terrible at? Don't say being a podcast host.
Dancer. I can't dance.
Anything medical.
What takes up too much of your time? 100%. What takes too much of your time?
This podcast.
Yeah, true. TikTok. 100%.
What do you wish you knew more about?
My body.
What?
I said my body. Like, I'm not good at anatomy or anything.
Last one. What game or movie universe would you like to live in?
Jumanji.
Harry Potter? No, Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty. I want to live in Sanrio World. Wherever that is.
Jumanji's not actually where I'd want to.
No, Candyland. Wait, is that film? It's not film.
It's a cinematic universe.
I would not actually want to live in Jumanji. It was just the first and only thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
I stressed.
I'm awake now. I'm good.
Man, okay.
Wow. Okay, guys. So, I don't know. That was...
Please don't reject us and give us money.
There you go. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are delusional and we have to go to bed. We're so tired.
And hey, don't forget, check out the new website.
Check out the new website.
SU-podcast.com.
Yes.
If you like what you see, let us know. Let us know in the comments what you want to see us talk about next.
Yes, please.
And how you got rejected. And give us money.
You're really on that money trip, huh?
Come on, y'all. We need it.
We love you guys. Have a great evening. We'll see you next time.